Trees are in bloom and honeybees are out. For fruit growers in the Pacific Northwest, that means it's time for the annual struggle between keeping their trees alive and keeping bees alive to pollinate those trees. Reporting for EarthFix, Eilish O'Neill visited an apple orchard to find out more.
We're looking overlooking the Bellwood Orchard. The first block that you see to your right is the first 10-acre block that was planted in 1996.
Dory Belisle and her husband John own the biggest apple orchard west of the Cascades. From the farmhouse, you can see piles of apple crates and rows of trees that stretch for acres.
Springtime's magical in the orchard. And the weird thing is, all these flowers on these trees, right, that are magically wonderful to our eyes, are designed to attract a whole other species.
You walk out there and there's bees everywhere. I mean, the orchard hums with their working.
But springtime in western Washington's wet weather also brings something a lot less magical than bees and blossoms. It brings fungi, like anthracnose.
It puts wounds on the trees, you might say, and takes away the circulation in the cambium, kills the tree. So we've had whole orchards go out up here in the northwest on the west side of the mountains. It likes moisture, so the other side of the mountains do not have that problem. It's just kind of us. You keep cutting it out, but eventually the tree disappears.
In the 1990s, western Washington apple farmers nearly lost the battle to anthracnose. While apples were booming east of the Cascades, western Washington lost hundreds of acres, 17% of its total apple acreage. Some counties lost all their apple trees. The farmers who survived, like the Belisles, had found a tool for fighting back. Fungicides.
You can put fungicides on the trees that are there like birth control. So every week, we go on and we put a fungicide on, and that stays there. And then when the rains come and the pathogens are released from the leaves, they go up into the tree and they land on product that's protected, and they can't reproduce.
But the fungicides that saved the trees could now be threatening the orchards, says May Barenbaum, a bee researcher at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign.
It turns out that honeybees that ingest fungicides have trouble breaking down the phytochemicals in their natural food. So not only are chemicals themselves potentially toxic, but they can interfere with the ability of honeybees to extract the energy they need from the food they eat.
The problem is that regulations don't always reflect everything scientists have learned about bees. Historically, the EPA has only tested whether or not a chemical kills adult bees outright. It hasn't looked at how chemicals might weaken bees or affect larval bees. So a few years ago, the EPA revisited how it reviews pesticides.
Their new risk assessment process includes both acute and chronic effects.
Eric Johansson's with the Washington Department of Agriculture.
It also looks at effects not just on adult bees, but also on bees as they're developing. Any new active ingredients would go through that process every 15 years, give or take. They're going to relook at all existing active ingredients.
It's not that farmers are doing anything wrong. John Belisle with Bellwood Acres says they're just following the label.
The way we know whether it's toxic or not, the way we think we know, is that the label says you can spray it on bees, and the label says you can't. It might even say spray at night. You know, if there's bees in the orchard, spray at night.
But it could be another decade and a half before pesticide labels reflect the latest science. In Seattle, I'm Eilish O'Neill.